show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host of the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, that helps people with cancer to understand and use integrative medicine. I hope you managed to listen to last week's show, in which I was privileged to have one of my all-time oncology heroes, Dr. Keith Block, as my guest. As if that wasn't enough, this week I'm speaking to yet another of my heroes, Michael Lerner, founder of the Commonweal Programme and Centre in California, and a man who's spent a lifetime pushing the boundaries of cancer treatment forward, always focused on improving the experience and outcomes of those with cancer. I'm speaking to Michael over the internet on the west coast of the US. Welcome to the Yes to Life Show, Michael.
Thank you so much, Robin. It's a joy to be with you.
Excellent. Well, for me, it's a total honor to have you on my show. I first became aware of you and your work in the very early days of Yes to Life over here in the UK, at which point, and I'm talking about this century, early this century, you'd already been busy for over a quarter of a century establishing and developing the Commonweal Programme, writing your inspirational, groundbreaking book, Choices in Healing, amongst loads of other stuff, I'm sure. But I'd like to start out by going right back to the original seed and inspiration for all the work that's gone on since and is still going on. What got you started?
Well, thanks for asking, Robin. And before I answer that, let me just say how much I admire what you are doing as someone who experienced being a parent of someone with cancer and your commitment to creating integrative care for everyone. And we share that with you. We both have a real mission to bring integrative cancer care to everyone who seeks it. And that is a very powerful mission because, as you know, and as I know, for all the wonders and miracles and blessings of conventional care, and they are many, there is a huge gap. And that huge gap has to be filled by self-care and complementary therapies and a broader spectrum approach to cancer. So, you know, my view is what we really need, you know, the term integrative cancer therapies, a lot of people don't understand what that means. And so that's a real problem. And I think about that. And, you know, this morning, literally, I was thinking to myself, what if we talked about spectrum cancer care? You know, spectrum is a word that kind of opens people up. At least they think they know what it means.
Right. And
it suggests a full range from conventional care to self-care to complementary care, including experimental care. So anyway, before we got started on other things, I just wanted to speak to how powerfully we share a mission to bring whatever we're going to call it, integrative cancer care, cancer care, to everyone who wants it.
Well, thank you for that very much. Yeah. All right. Great. Yeah, well, that's definitely the mission. But so anyway, well, there you were as a young man. You started this, you got off on this path very early in life, really. How come? What happened?
Well, so what happened was, you know, a little background. I was born and raised in New York City, and my father was a political philosopher, and I taught at Yale in the early 70s and came out to California and started Commonweal. I had a vision of a center for healing ourselves and healing the earth. And your listeners can go to commonweal.org, that's commonweal.org, and look at our 40 different programs in health and healing, education and the arts, and environment and justice, which are national and global. So, but at the heart of it, coming back to your question, I had this vision in 1976 of a center for healing ourselves and healing the earth. And Robin, that's what I've been doing ever since. And about 10 years into that, my father developed cancer, just like you had a child with cancer. And so what really started me was a search to help my father. It was so often the case. This work is almost always done by either someone touched by cancer directly or somebody in the family, and they make it their life mission, and it's been a large part of my life mission.
It certainly has. Very interesting. So, I mean, one of the things that's very striking is that way back then, you'd made this sort of deep connection between the health of the human beings and the health of our planet, the health of the environment, which it hasn't really been put together yet by the mainstream. And yet it would seem to me that if we're expecting either to be good, we have to make this deep connection that actually if we don't look after our environment, we're not looking after ourselves.
Absolutely true. And we talk about it now, Robin, as the global polycrisis, which is the intersection of several dozen stressors, environmental, social, technological, financial, economic, that are interacting with increasing force, creating future shocks of ever greater intensity and ever greater frequency. And, you know, the three poster children were, you know, first COVID, and then first climate change, then second COVID, and now the Ukraine war. Now, this is just one perspective. There are many other poster children for it. But the point I want to make is you can't be healthy people on a sick planet. And our planet is getting sicker and sicker. And it's now kind of gone into overdrive where these interacting forces really are at a very critical point. And so turning that around is really like turning around a serious cancer diagnosis.
Right.
And there's a deep, deep similarity that, you know, in depth psychological work with cancer, you know, it's well recognized that a wound is not only a wound, it's an opening. You know, Dame Edith Sitwell said of William Blake, he was cracked, but it was through the crack that the light came.
Right.
And so it is true that when we're cracked open by life, very often the light can come in. And so at some level, we have to hope that as the polycrisis intensifies, we will reach a point where people recognize how serious it is and the light will come in.
Okay, that's a very big view of things. Thank you for that. I'm completely with you that I think the environmental crisis is being kind of treated as a separate entity on its own, and is getting some attention, not nearly as much as we know as it needs to get. But as long as we carry on thinking that you know, it has nothing to do with our health and well-being, I don't think the answers will be found, really. I think, you know, as you say, actually that crack you're describing is the crack through which the care will come that will address both of those crises.
Absolutely. We have focused very deeply on the role of chemical contaminants in cancer and health through a website called healthandenvironment.org. And we played a pretty critical role in helping develop a government handbook on cancer and the environment, which was really groundbreaking on chemical contaminants and cancer. So the evidence is very, very strong that just as we are toxifying the entire biome, we are also causing a wide range of health problems in people, learning disabilities, infertility, neurological, you know, heart, all kinds of things, including cancer. And the cancer evidence is very strong. So again, we can't turn this around without turning around how we live on Earth.
I didn't know about that website. Thank you very much for that. Okay. Just one thing, you mentioned the name of the organization, spelt it out for us. Thank you. Where did you get that name from?
Where did I get Commonweal? I was sitting in my living room with my first wife, and we were thinking about the name, and she said, what about Common Wheel? Common and then W-H-E-E-L. And I thought that sounded beautiful. And then as she said it, I thought, no, Commonweal. Because Commonweal means, it's an old English word, as you know, meaning the well-being of the whole community. It's like Commonwealth. And so the idea that if we were devoted to healing ourselves and healing the earth, a commonweal seemed like a beautiful word to describe that.
Nice. Okay, so I want to spend the lion's share of this interview talking about your current exciting initiatives, which are many, but just to give some context, I want to spend a few more minutes looking back, if we could. By anyone's standards, you were a fully signed up member of the hippie counterculture back then in the 70s.
That's right. I was. Yeah.
So to me, what made Choices in Healing so radical was you had an openness to the hope, the care and the love that underpinned so many initiatives at that time, but it didn't allow for becoming lost in fantasy or wishful thinking. It kept 2 feet firmly on the ground, and it stuck as close as possible to the facts as they were known then. So in this, I think it built the beginnings of a bridge towards the world of orthodox science, and it began to walk away from the destructive polarization of conventional versus alternative. And that was kind of the first shoots of what has grown to become integration. So I'm just interested in what drove or led you in that direction at that time.
Well, thank you for that, Robin. And I think it, in all humility, I think you've got it right. What happened when I started looking for something for my father, who at the time had a very serious prognosis, a couple of years. Now, he ended up living over 10 years. Okay. And honestly, he never did any of the stuff I looked into, which I love, because to me, that's a perfect example that one size does not fit all. Right. And what he did do, which I think was central, was he took command of his own ship. Mm. And he made the choices for himself. And he had an immense passion and love of life and learning. Those were his two things, love and learning, really. And those are my two passions, you know, by the way. And so I set out to try to help my father. And, you know, just going back, you said I was signed up as a member of the hippie counterculture. Absolutely true. But I was a certain kind of hippie counterculture person. I was the guy who taught the course on the counterculture at Yale University in the political science department.
Right. And,
you know, I always kept my feet firmly on the ground. And I also had a background as a reporter. An editor of the Harvard newspaper, working for the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Atlantic. And so I had a strong reportorial background and a strong academic background. So when my mentors, Phil Lee, who was the head of chancellor of University of California, San Francisco, and others warned me that this pursuit of complementary cancer therapies could easily destroy my career. And they meant it, because it had destroyed, because it was considered pure quackery.
Absolutely.
It was considered quackery. And so the only way I could approach that was as objectively as I could. So I brought all my academic skills and my reportorial skills. And what I basically said to the world as I did this, I said, look, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't care whether a specific complementary therapy works or not. I just want to figure out what the truth is. So coming in from that perspective of like, because I didn't have a dog in the fight, there was no therapy that I was committed to. I was committed to seeing if some of this stuff helped. And so then what I said in the book was, and I think was deeply reassuring to the oncologist, I said, look, I've looked at a lot of complementary therapies. I have seen no clear-cut cure for cancer among any of them. So that is a great relief. That's, oh my God, he's not crazy.
Yeah, right.
Right. And then I said to them, however, I said, if you look at many of these therapies, what are they? Diet, nutrition, stress reduction, emotional support, so on and so forth. Number one, they are forms of intensive health promotion. Number two, there is a literature, a scientific literature on the benefits of diet, stress reduction, exercise and support, a strong literature on their benefits for health in general. So if a patient decides they want to get healthier and they commit themselves to an intensive form of health promotion. I say to the oncologists, literally in my talks to them, what does that make them? Well, what is it? They makes them a healthier person living with cancer. And then I say to them, now, in your research studies of new pharmacologies, why do you track quality of life or what they call functional status, which is the same? And they say, well, if we didn't track quality of life or functional status, we wouldn't know if patients lived longer because they were healthier or because of the pill, right? And then I say to them, so if that's the case, if quality of life or functional status is so important that it screws up your studies if you don't track it, then why wouldn't you want to encourage patients who want to do intensive health promotion to do so? And why instead, when a patient comes to you and says, should I try a diet? Should I do this, that? You say, it doesn't matter what you do. It's just going to be the medicine, which they dismiss it very often. Mm-hmm. But if you said to them and said, you know, I'm so grateful that you asked that, because that makes me feel you really want to be an active partner in getting well. And really, I'm really interested in integrative cancer care. I don't know a lot about it, but what we do know is that healthier people with cancer have better quality of life and often tend to live longer. So if you want to do sensible things that improve your quality of life, I'm really thrilled about that. And I'd love to hear what you're doing. Hope you keep a journal of what you learn, because this is new for all of us. So somebody who responds to a patient in that way, there's an immense sense of empowerment.
Fantastic,
that they can actually talk to the doctor and doesn't have to shut down a whole part of themselves.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, in any case, when I came at the book itself in that way, it was incredibly hard to attack.
Right.
You know, it was incredibly hard to attack. And as a result, it was the first book on complementary cancer therapies to get respectful reviews in the New England Journal of Medicine, in the Journal of the American Medical Society, and in the New Scientist, which, by the way, was out of the UK and was run by a wonderful British oncologist who became a friend of mine. So so it really did open that door, Robin.
I think it did.
And now there are integrative cancer programs in most major cancer centers in the United States.
I know that. I know that too well. And it contrasts heavily with the fact we don't have a single one here. Unfortunately, all these years have gone by and we've stayed in the doldrums, really. Britain's shown an enormous ability to resist change in this area. It's just only now beginning to happen that the change is. COVID has been a marvellous boost, funnily enough, to promoting ideas of personal engagement in well-being and health, health promotion, and the stuff we've been doing for 20 years is beginning to sound like common sense to most people. So but it's been very slow. And it's amazing what's been achieved in America. We wouldn't have really guessed all that time back that America would go ahead with it so much faster than here, but that's the way it's gone. And Yeah, and you played a big part in that, along with some other pioneers. Similar time, interestingly, this kind of a move in the direction you've described. You know, I've talked to two of my health heroes this week. I talked to Keith Block earlier in the week. He's another person I credit with, you know, just rolling up his sleeves and getting down to business with what works here, and no dog in the game, as you say. You know, he just really has explored it in a very scientific and engaged way for the benefit of patients, basically. He's looked at it from their point of view. And yeah, there's a few people who've worked in that way, but who've created the integrative movement, which was just a fight before that.
Well, absolutely. Keith Block is a close friend, a beloved colleague, and truly a true pioneer of the actual practice of integrative oncology. Yes, I mean, you know, many people, Keith Block, James Gordon, who did cancer guide work for many, many years, just so many others. Rachel Naomi Remen, my colleague on the spiritual side, Janie Brown at Callanish in Vancouver.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yeah.
Janie is a close friend and comes down and works in our cancer help program. So yeah, it's been a whole movement. My piece of it was, you know, only one small piece, but it did crack open one door in a useful way.
You know? I think so. And you were ahead. That was a key point.
The other thing is that this, you know, just as conventional medicine keeps moving forward, complementary medicine keeps moving forward. And so
absolutely,
there's a constant process. If you look back 25 years at what people were doing, you know, they were doing Laetril, they were doing macrobiotic, they were doing the Gerson diet, and so on and so forth. You hear nothing about Laetril. They were doing shark's cartilage. You hear nothing about Laetril, nothing about shark's cartilage, very little about the Gerson diet, very little about macrobiotics. The whole field, as your colleague, you know, is very involved with the British Society for Integrative Oncology, the whole field is moving forward in very thrilling ways, you know, really thrilling. And I have to say, having looked at your list of podcasts, you are really pioneers of doing a first-rate job of covering this.
Great. Well, thank you very much. We're trying.
That's what it is.
Okay. So enough looking back. Let's get on to the present now. I know you're champing at the bit to speak about all the exciting initiatives you're engaged in right now. I was just saying that the pandemic's turned out to be a catalyst for many positive developments. I think maybe this is true for your work as well. Do you want to use that as a kind of starting point?
Yes, that's wonderful. So I'll list the four things I'd like to mention briefly, and then your listeners may want to start taking a look, if they're near their computers, at cancerchoices.org, cancerchoices.org.
Absolutely.
They can be queuing that up. So 36 years ago, after I had started writing Choices in Healing, I co-founded the Commonwealth Cancer Help Program, which was actually based on the Bristol Cancer Help Program in Bristol.
I heard that.
And which I visited and which had a big impact on us. So now, 36 years later, we've done 214 week-long cancer help programs. And that model has, it's very difficult to replicate because it's very intensive, 8 people for a week in, you know, in an ideal environment. But it has spread. Janie Brown at Callanish does a brilliant job with it. Harmony Hill in Washington State does a good job. There are places around the world doing it. So that's the most intensive thing. What COVID did was that when we had to pause the cancer help program, because we brought it back and we're doing it mostly outdoors, but we started a new program called Sanctuary, which was a month-long retreat for online for cancer patients. And it's so powerful that many of the people who do the Sanctuary program then come to Commonwealth because they want more. The third thing I want to mention is that a lot of our cancer resources over the last 20 years and more are at our new school website, tns.commonweal.org. And the new school, there are dozens of podcasts and videos with Keith Block and many of the other great pioneers of the field. But what I'd really like to bring to your listeners' attention is that cancerchoices.org is really my book from 25 years ago, Choices in Healing, with 25 years more experience. Cancer, it's Choices in Healing 2.0. It's on the web. And so if, you know, when they look at Cancer Choices, the challenge with it is that it can be challenging to navigate because there is so much information. But if they go to the top bar and they go to therapies and handbooks, and they look at reviews of therapies, and the reviews of therapies, we have now got 61 therapies and counting, where for many of them, not all yet, but for many of them, we have really state-of-the-art reviews of the evidence, very, very careful, reviewed by peers. And so this resource that if you have cancer and somebody tells you about marijuana or about green tea or milk thistle or quercetin or resveratrol or turkey tail mushroom or vitamin C or vitamin E or mistletoe or flaxseed or reishi mushrooms or turmeric or whatever it is, and you can look it up and find what the best science says about it. So that's one thing about it. The other thing that a patient can do is that they can go to the therapies and handbooks section of the website. And the therapies and handbooks section, they will find about five total handbooks on different cancers, including breast cancer, colon cancer, ovarian cancer, and prostate cancer. Those are the four I remember right now. And these are meticulous, well-researched handbooks, like total handbooks. The third thing I would say is, and this is really critical, is that they can go to, under choices in self-care, they can go to our seven healing practices. And this is really, when we talk about the power of self-care to make you healthier in ways that cost you nothing, basically. And the seven that we use, the many different people have different versions of this, are eating well, moving more, managing stress, sleeping well, creating a healing environment, sharing love and support, and exploring what matters now. And those seven practices, eating well, moving more, managing stress, sleeping well, creating a healing environment, sharing love and support, and exploring what matters more, they build your physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual resilience to face the rigors of conventional therapies. They reduce symptoms and side effects. They improve your body terrain, making your whole body less hospitable to cancer. They may improve quality of life and extend your life and reduce your risk of recurrence. And most of these practices are supported by substantial evidence, which we give on each of the pages. Mm. So of those, and then I'll stop, the core one, which is in the center of the circle of seven, is what matters now in your life. That's the core, because when you get a cancer diagnosis, and there's this immense shock, and the doctors usually say, we have to get you into surgery, we have to get you into this, get you into that. If you just try not to be rushed into treatment, if you try to say, I need a little time to think this over, how much time could I take? Well, usually, unless it's an emergency, it's a month or 6 weeks or something like that. You know, there really is time, because the choices that you will make in conventional therapies are so profoundly important for the quality of the rest of your life that if you don't really think about it, you may find yourself in the terrible situation, which I'm sad to say so many people do, which they say, if I had only known.
Right.
You know? And so if you ask what matters now, the question is, are you trying to live at all costs? Or is quality of life more important to you? Or are there certain activities that are important to you? So you might choose a therapy that works just as well as another therapy, but doesn't, for example, damage the nerves in your hands and feet or something like that. You could, you know, chemo versus radiation if you had a choice. So that question of what matters to you automatically brings somebody into some sense of they are the captain of this ship.
Right.
They get to make choices, as opposed to feeling that everything's out of control, their life has ended, and they just have to do whatever they're told. And that usually doesn't work as well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, I've got to say, the website, the Cancer Choices website, is deeply impressive. I've had a nose around it, and I'd encourage everybody to have a look. It's a massive resource for people.
Thank you very much. And we hope that your listeners not only will take a look around, but in their social media lives or in the, with their doctors or patient friends or whatever, we'd like to spread the good news that it's out there. That's a really important thing to us. So we're all partners in this. You and I are partners, and every patient or practitioner who listens to your extraordinary podcast, we're all this in this together. It's a it's a collective movement to bring integrative cancer care to everybody who wants it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, fantastic piece of work, fantastic piece of work, and I'm sure it'll carry on growing and improving with time. Okay, do you want to say a bit more about, say, Healing Circles Global? That's another great initiative. You've not
Thank
said
you
too much
very
about.
Much for asking that. I'm as we speak, I'm up here on Whidbey Island, north of Seattle, where we have a second home. We're based with Commonweal in Bolinas, California, but I spend 5 months of the year up here on Whidbey Island. And up here, I met a remarkable couple, Diana and Kelly Lindsay. And Diana is a long-term survivor against immense odds of a brain cancer. They were thinking about starting a cancer center, and we met, and we decided to combine forces. And so out of that came Healing Circles Global. And Healing Circles started with a focus on cancer, but it now addresses many, many different forms of loss, loss of a partner, grief, cancer diagnosis, simply loneliness with COVID. And it is spreading all around the world in a very beautiful, gentle, organic way. And the mechanism is that anybody who wants can sign up for a weekend, easy process of learning how to be a circle host or guardian. There are two people in each circle. And these circles, by the way, it's all free. It's all free. Almost everything we do is free.
Great.
And so what happens is that you learn the basic rules of how to hold, either online or in person, a healing circle. And once you have taken the training, you can start offering healing circles, and then you become part of a circle of hosts where people compare notes about what they're learning on an ongoing basis. And then if you want, you can take the advanced training. So it's a incredibly touching grassroots movement. You know, Robin, one of the things you and I both know is there's the so-called hard side of complementary therapies, supplements, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But then there's the psychological and spiritual dimension. And that dimension is just as important. And Healing Circles addresses all the grief, all the shock, but also all the sense that many people have that a new life has opened to them with this diagnosis, that, you know, they're in a new phase of their life and they need to discover what matters. So Healing Circles Global is one of both of these projects. Cancer Choices and Healing Circles Global are two of the projects that I'm most devoted to at Commonweal, and I'm most grateful that we're able to offer to the world.
Marvelous. Well, I had the pleasure of speaking to Diana on this show, and
yes,
and also to Janie. So, I'm well up with some of your initiatives, the recent ones. Really great. Love it. Yeah. So, you were talking there about this whole other side of the experience of being diagnosed with cancer, of going through cancer treatment, the whole emotional, psychological, spiritual realm of it, and how important that is in the overall picture of regaining good health in some way. And I'm delighted to say that we've just put together a program for our annual conference, which at last we're able to do in person again for the first time in a long time. And we devoted the whole conference actually to that subject. It's called Finding a Deeper Connection. And we've got some amazing speakers. I'm very excited about it. I hope we get, a stampede to come to it. And there's so much good stuff to share there. And I feel the opportunity that an existential crisis like cancer presents, helping people to find that opportunity or to see that there is one, is one of the most precious things that we could do if we find the ways to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of COVID, I just read in the paper today, it's no news to, but at least in the United States, I imagine in the UK, COVID is now the third leading cause of death ahead of accidents in the US, behind heart disease and cancer.
Okay.
And it's getting closer. I think heart disease was 1.2 million or something, and cancer was, anyway, I don't remember the numbers, but COVID, and so the point is that on the psychological and spiritual dimension, you know, all of these illnesses have such profound common roots. And so what you're offering really not only applies to cancer, but Strange. And that's why we went into other areas. We started with cancer, but if you take the seven healing practices or most of the stuff we do or the intensive forms of health promotion, they're strong evidence that it works to reverse coronary artery disease, the work Dean Ornish and others have done on that.
Yeah.
You know, there's some new evidence, I don't know if you know about it, but the Bredesen protocol is having some very interesting impact on Alzheimer's disease.
I heard that.
Yeah, and so I think what's happening is that integrative and functional medicine sort of being integrative medicine on steroids, if you will, they are gradually building out into all different fields of healing and clinical practice. And I think it's irreversible because not only the benefits for quality of life and potentially longevity, but also the reduction in medical costs.
Absolutely.
Of doing these things. I mean, you know, at least in the US, I'm not sure it's true in the UK because you have the health service, but all the financial incentives are to overtreat cancer. And right. So it causes considerable suffering as a result of not having the financial incentives aligned. If we move more into integrative and functional health promotion, we reduce health costs.
Along with a lot of other benefits as well. Humans and the planet. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely right. Okay, well, look, we've just got a little time left. Do you want to say a bit more? You alluded to your online Sanctuary Cancer Help Program, which has obviously been quite a thing for people. Do you want to tell us a bit more about it?
So the Sanctuary Program is like the Cancer Help Program in that, Robin, what we do in our programs, we don't go for mass stuff. We go for very high quality work with small groups of people. Mm-hmm. And we achieve larger numbers by sharing our methods with others who can do it. So if you look at the literature, the ideal size for small group interaction is between 7 and 9 people. That's the, you think of a dinner party.
Yeah.
You know, if you have more than 7 or 8 people over dinner, it's really hard to have a single conversation.
Fragment, yeah.
And there's a strong literature on that. So the Cancer Help Program takes 8 people at a time. Now for Sanctuary, we realized, you know, online, 8 is too many. So we're taking 6 online.
Okay.
You know, and again, that strong, strong focus on really attending to the reality of each of the people in the program. So we have a psychotherapist co-leader, we have a physician co-leader, and we have Arlene Alsman, who is the wonderful coordinator of the Cancer Help Program and Sanctuary. And we have a yoga teacher. And so the way it works is sessions Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 2 hours apiece for a month. That's basically how it works.
Okay.
And the impact has been very, very powerful. And it means that all kinds of people, you know, who will never be able to come on the Cancer Help Program can have an extremely powerful experience, so much so that quite a few of them now are showing up in the Cancer Help Program saying, it changed my life and I want more.
Amazing. And can you give us an idea of the structure of this? You said, okay, it's 3 times a week. What's the structure of any one session?
So first of all, I'm not in the sessions and I can't give you, you know, line and verse detail. I started it and turned it over to other people. That's how I work.
Yes.
I start things but basically, the core, well, one session is a yoga session. But the core of it is, it's like a healing circle. It's a facilitated healing circle, facilitated by a really first-rate psychotherapist. So basically, everybody gets the opportunity each time to say where they are in their healing practice. That's the core of it. And then the physician is just a wonderful colleague who is deeply knowledgeable about integrative cancer therapies, deeply knowledgeable about integrative cancer therapies. Again, the psychotherapist, we're very careful about staff and we're very careful about size and really trying to meet the needs of the people who are there.
So the people are able to get quite authoritative answers about things to do with integrative medicine during these sessions. That's very valuable.
I'd like just for a minute, because I know we're about to close, just to come back to cancerchoices.org. And just to say, you know, friends, you know, if you're listening, I have devoted almost 40 years, just about 40 years, to developing this work. And this website took 20,000 hours of work. And it is an extraordinary resource. We will keep tuning it, keep improving it. You may find it a little challenging to navigate in that there's so much there that you have to spend a little time with the navigation to figure out, you know, where everything is. But once you figure out the navigation and look at the stories, look at the blogs, look at all the podcasts, the webinars, and everything else, the wealth of these materials is just really extraordinary. And so, Robin, I'm so grateful you gave me an opportunity to join all the extraordinary people that you've interviewed, and I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. I hope we stay in touch.
Well, so do I, very much so. Thank you very much indeed for coming on today. For me personally, it's fantastic, very inspirational. Your work's been ahead of me all the time, and I've referred to it, and it's helped me build my own view of integration and understanding of it. And so I'm deeply grateful personally, and I know for sure this is a fantastic interview that a lot of people will be enjoying.
And let us know when your conference is, and we'll try to let people know about
it. Thank you. Thank you. I certainly will.
We'll talk soon, I hope. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Michael's always excited to focus on what is happening right now and his future plans, but it's also deeply inspiring to look back and see just how much he's achieved already. I'd like to remind you that our annual conference that we mentioned is on the 24th of September in central London, and it's entitled Finding a Deeper Connection. It has its own website, which you can find easily from the homepage of the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk. Just click the button on the rolling banner at the top of the homepage to find out more and to book. Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed listening to Michael as much as I did. I'll be back again next week with another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.